Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hi, this is Chris Newton, host of Travel Advice Talk Show on blogtalkradio.com. Thank you for joining us. Today is December 18th, 2006, and I'm located in Salt Lake City, Utah, the home of the 2002 Winter Olympic Games. And I'm also at the library where it was rated one of the best libraries in America in Salt Lake City. So if you're ever in Salt Lake City, come down to the local library. It's right in downtown Salt Lake City here. And I'd like to welcome Jerry Fuller, my co-host. Hi, Jerry. How are you doing today?
Fantastic. How are you doing?
Oh, doing good. Doing good. Getting ready for the holidays, and everybody's probably getting ready to maybe go to their family or go on a nice pleasure vacation, or it's kind of the time when you know when people have time off and and to do their trips and today, Jerry, so I guess we're going to talk about Western travel in the Western United States. And we would like, if anybody would like to call in and ask a question about the Western states, and that they can get information about their travel plans. And Jerry and I can tell you, just about our experiences that we've traveled. I've traveled pretty extensively in the West. I've been to every state in the West and explored all the different areas, deserts, mountains, the coast, and by the Pacific Ocean. And the phone number to call in is 646-915-9715, and you can call in. We're here for a half hour, and from just a half hour time slot, and we're here every week, every Monday. And Jerry, I'll just share a couple upcoming shows that we have happening there.
All right.
Yeah, we have a Christmas show coming up on December 25th, the holiday show, and we're going to talk about backpacking and budget travel. And we're going to have a special guest on our show, one of our first guests, Jeremy Jensen. He's an expert backpacker. He's traveled, backpacked extensively through Tibet, Asia area, Europe, South America. So he'll be a great person to ask any type of questions you have about backpacking around the world. And then New Year's Day, we're having a show. It falls on a Monday, and we're going to talk about researching your travel and kind of having your travel plans and how to start off your thinking about where you want to go. So hopefully we'll help you there with some good travel advice. But hey Jerry, do you have any type of a favorite destination that you like in the Western states there, or would you like to share anything?
Well, like you, I have traveled extensively in the West too, and
yeah.
I mean, I think what we should do is say that we'll define the West today is that draw a line from New Mexico to the Dakotas, and anything west of those states, including those states, we'll talk about as you and I talked today. But just a reminder, if you have a question about anywhere, Europe or any trip you're taking in the world, just interrupt. We'll come right back to the topic after we talk to you. But basically, I really don't have a favorite in the West, because I have probably 20 favorites.
I
absolutely love Jackson, Wyoming area and the Tetons and all that. And I think around Seattle is phenomenal. The whole area within maybe 100-mile radius up from Mount Olympus to Mount Rainier, all of that up to Bellingham. It's a phenomenal place in the San Juan Islands. And I love to drive down the coastal road of Oregon, and I love Highway 101 in California. I mean, talk about spectacular scenery. And Utah. You can't beat Utah as far as particularly the central to the southern part. And there's parts of Arizona that is very unique and different, like Sedona and down into Cottonwood and all that in the Sedona area, Jerome, and down into Tucson. And the northern New Mexico is spectacular, and the southwest South Dakota is magnificent. And, I mean, Colorado, western Colorado, there's not an ugly inch of that. And
Yeah,
the West is just phenomenal. So I really don't have a favorite place, but I guess if I had to say a favorite place, it would it's hard to say because it depends on what you want, what the mood is. But I guess the most beautiful, unique place, I guess, is really southern Utah, because there is so much to do in southern Utah, and it's not because we live here. that we say I say that is because I'm really a Southerner. I'm from Texas, and lived all my life in Arkansas, Texas, in the South. And I have found the southern part of Utah absolutely magnificent, particularly on Highway 12 Torrey and Bryce Canyon. And, you know, one thing I've learned out here in the West, I knew it in other parts of the world, that it is so important to go the right time of year, and it's so important to go in the right direction so the sun will hit you in the right places, you get the right reflection. For example, we're just talking about Highway 12 between Torrey and Bryce Canyon. The first weekend of October is the time to go, and you must go from Torrey to Bryce Canyon, not Bryce Canyon to Torrey, because the scenery as you hit it is more impressive, in my opinion, because you'll just go around these corners and go, wow, as you look off into different canyons and the red deserts and red and whites. It's spectacular. And then Moab, my heaven, you can spend 2 weeks in Moab in that area. It's whitewater rafting and hiking and camping and four-wheel driving and kayaking and on and on. What's your favorite part, or do you have one?
I'm kind of biased towards southern Utah. I got pretty addicted to it maybe a couple of years ago when I first arrived in Salt Lake City in Utah, and I remember my first trip down to Moab, and I just could not believe it. I thought I was on another planet, you know, like I was like, what am I, where am I, and there's no people either. It's just amazing. There's nobody around, and I don't know, you can just feel like you're in a whole other world, it's for me, has been the best to, it's like escapism almost. You just kind of like go into another world, and for hiking and for mountain biking or whitewater rafting through the canyons. And I mean, there's so much recreation that you can do, outdoor recreation, you know. I've been camping to all the
Go ahead.
I've been to all the national parks down there. There's some like Arches National Park, Canyonlands National Park, Capitol Reef National Park, Zion National Park, and you know, and there's so much to see in the national parks. Also, if you get off the beaten path too, like in the BLM land, the Bureau of Land Management. I didn't realize that Utah is one of the most states with public land, actually having most public land.
Part of our problem, isn't it? Because we don't get any taxation.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You're like, there's nobody living around. There. Once you. Yeah. Uh huh.
I think I read somewhere, and I could be wrong, but it seems like almost half of the state is public land.
Yeah.
Have you heard something like that?
I think it's like 50 or 60%. Yeah, it might be. I don't know the exact figures, but, yeah, I mean, it's with the BLM, the state, owned by the state, and, so, you know, it's basically our land. You know, it's the public's land that we can kind of camp there or get a permit there to stay there, you know. So it feels good to kind of see your land, you know. I've experienced southern Utah very well. Like, I spent a summer down in Zion National Park area.
Wow.
And I hiked like every day for probably 3 months. Or so, you know, in the park, around the park, and I really fell in love with that area, like southern, like that by Kanab, Springdale area. That's one of my favorite areas around there.
Go ahead. The thing that I think so interesting about the West, I mean, I think most people think that the West is cowboys and Native American and Indian reservations and that kind of thing, and it's there. I mean, it's out here, but it's so interesting how each state out here is so different.
You
can almost tell when you cross the border, can't you?
You cross into Mexico.
Anywhere going into Colorado, and it changes within 30 miles, the scenery and lifestyle and everything.
Like one time I drove the whole, like, across central Utah from northern to the central part, and mm-hmm. I think I went into, like, four different seasons all in one day. I went into a snowstorm, and then it was, like, 90 degrees in the desert, you know, and then I saw the fall colors. I mean, it was just,
Oh, I was with somebody from back east, and they were just like, and they couldn't believe it. And yeah, it's so.
It can be June or July.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. You can
and
have.
We were up in. We were over in northeast Nevada about a month ago, and in the valleys and the desert part, it was probably 80 degrees.
Oh,
hot, sunny, and beautiful. And within an hour, we had gone up to 8,500 feet, and it was snowing and icy and windy as dead winter. And then we came down in a T-shirt again. Oh.
Yeah.
And,
you
just never know, do you?
Oh, I know.
We were up kayaking. We were kayaking on the Snake River up in Jackson, the Hoback Junction south of Jackson, and the famous part of the Snake. And we got this is Labor Day, okay? Labor Day,
okay.
Saturday before Labor Day. And we wake up, it's colder than sin, and it starts snowing, and we put all our stuff on, and we go down, start that river, and it's snowing. By the end of the day, it's 78 degrees. And our second run, it's 78 wearing swimsuits. But yeah, the weather is so weird here.
Oh, yeah.
It makes it exciting, doesn't it?
Yeah, and the plan, make sure you have a fleece, or a winter jacket, even in July or August. Yeah.
I know.
You know?
Particularly if you're coming from a warm climate. Because my in-laws, the reason we're out in Utah is because my in-laws lived out here.
Okay.
And we would come out in August. And when you live in South Texas in August, you don't think of wearing a long-sleeve shirt or fleece or anything like that. And we would come out to visit them. And at night here in Utah, we would sit on the front porch, and they're in their short sleeves and shorts and things, and saying, oh, this is so hot and fanning themselves. And we're out here in borrowed sweaters and blankets sitting out on top of us in the porch. We're freezing to death. And it's probably 50, but it feels like 30. But,
yeah.
You know, the neat thing about the West is that you don't have to go a long ways to get a wide variety of experience.
Right,
and,
right.
I mean,
right.
It's amazing. We have ghost towns, the old mining towns that are abandoned. And my wife and I have started seeing those in Idaho and Wyoming and Utah and Nevada and California. We've started picking that up because that's kind of fun. And a wide variety of areas, particularly south of Boise and east of Boise and into northeast Nevada and all over Utah and much of Colorado. And we're impressed with the Indian reservations.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many of them out here.
Oh,
and
I know.
And they're all just different, all the way from Montana on down to Arizona and everywhere.
You got the
and
Navajo Nation.
Yeah, that's huge, isn't it? It covers four states.
Yeah, it's I don't know the exact acreage, but yeah, it's like the whole corner, the Navajo Nation is like the whole corner of the northeast of Arizona, and then
most of the north of Arizona, almost from the Grand Canyon over. Heard somewhere, I think it's the size of Connecticut, that Indian reservation.
At least.
Yeah.
And they got the Cane de Chelly down there and Monument Valley area. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's and then you can learn the culture down there, too, and all the, you know, like the different Indian tribes. Yeah, you can learn all the different – and the crafts, too. The crafts are amazing, too, the jewelry and everything there. Yeah. And it's so diverse, you know. So, yeah. Yeah, it's
– And there's some historical – go ahead.
Oh, no. Yeah. It's just historical. And, you know, I've been out west. I've been living out west, like, for 6 years. I'm originally from Detroit area in Michigan there. So for me, it's just been every day it's a new adventure out here because, like, just in Salt Lake City here, we have the Wasatch Mountains, you know, and many people don't, like, a lot of people know them for skiing and things like that, but also in the summertime, they got some great hikes up there, you know, that are just really close to the city, you know, you can get up and hike around and, you know, just for a day hike, you know.
Yeah, and so I mean, you can go, an hour drive from Salt Lake, you're in the Uintas. And you can, over Labor Day weekend, getting prepared for our Kilimanjaro hike, we left on Saturday morning, and we drove just an hour drive, and within no time flat, we were up at 11,000 feet, and we were camping. We camped Saturday night and came back Sunday, walking through many different lakes and things like that. And one thing I want to mention before I forget is a way that a lot of people see the West is they buy or rent an RV. And RVs are an excellent way because we have lots of KOA campgrounds, for example, and other parks and camping areas. And well, I'll give you an example of what we did one time with Travel Advice. We had a couple of years ago a man emailed us from Germany saying that he and his wife and another couple wanted to rent an RV from San Diego and drive to Vancouver,
ooh,
in Canada. And I thought, what a wonderful trip, and he wanted 6 weeks. And then I started thinking, I mean, because I am not, I don't dislike RVs and camping, but I don't want to do it for 6 weeks. And so I called him up. I emailed him, said, where's your phone number? I called him, and I said, do you mind if I talk to the other three people going? And the truth of the matter is that the wives thought that was going to be the most horrible experience of their entire life, it's having to cook all the meals, having to camp, and having to keep the thing clean. And the men thought that would be great. So as a result, we planned a trip where they could intermix unique hotels. I mean, they've got the most fabulous hotels and B&Bs and inns and lodges along the West Coast as you go up. And so they would intermix it with camping at KOA campgrounds and other places. And we recommended stuff. And so they intermixed it, and they had a magnificent time. In fact, the next year we did it for them for the East Coast. They rented it in Miami and went clear to Maine in 6 weeks.
Oh.
Yeah. And they didn't camp the whole time in RVs, although some people love RVing and some people don't. So there's
right.
so many things to do here, hot air ballooning and horseback riding. And there really are dude ranches out here, which I'm from Texas, so I'm used to dude ranches in the Bandera area. But they really have tons of them, and they range from rustic, it's all get out, like in that movie, what was it, City Slickers, all the way up
City
to Prairie. There's wonderful spas in them out in like Wyoming and some Montana ones. And I mean, yeah, it's great. I want to mention one other thing before I forget. There's it's important that when you come out to the West that you get the right area and make sure that you get what you think you want to see. Because I was stunned. For example, let's take Colorado. You draw a line north to south, just follow the interstate right through Denver from Wyoming down to New Mexico. And anything east of that is flat farmland. It looks like Kansas and Nebraska. It's kind of ugly. Yeah, just as flat and ugly. Because when you think of Colorado, you think of mountains and ski resorts and spectacular scenery. And you go to the left of that line, and it's spectacular mountains all the way to the Utah border or past the Utah border into Utah. But you need to understand that. And also like Montana, for example. The beautiful part of Montana is the western third of Montana. You just draw a line from Butte all the way to Great Falls and straight up there, and you go west of it, and that's where the beautiful part of Montana is. That's the part you think it should be, like Glacier. My word, what a magnificent place. And driving all through those mountains,
right.
So it's important to know, well, take the state of Washington. I mean, most people know Seattle and how beautiful it is, but you know the eastern half of Washington State and Oregon, they're kind of mountainous in parts, but they're dry. They're deserts. They have scrub oak and all that kind of stuff. So they're kind of, I don't want to say ugly. They're just different than what you think. The west coast of Oregon and Washington State are magnificently beautiful.
Yeah, I had that feeling. I went on a road trip, and I went through eastern Oregon there, and I couldn't believe it. My idea of Oregon was just very wet and lush and, you know, very green and all that, you know, and I couldn't believe it. It was like a dry desert on the
eastern side.
And nobody there either, no town, nobody lives over there. Yeah, it's kind of unique, but my expectation, like if I would have flew into Portland and then, I'm going to the eastern side, it's mm-hmm. not your expectation. You know, that's a good point, yeah.
And, California is, I mean, that might as well be 10 different countries because every part of California is so different. I mean, you have that Death Valley and all the way down to Yuma, and that is as desert as and dry as the Sahara Desert practically. Then you go up to the north, and I know you spent some time in Northern California.
I did.
And isn't that magnificent beautiful up there?
Oh, it's amazing. I couldn't believe the trees. You know, the redwood trees up in Humboldt County by Eureka area, Crescent City, right on the border of Oregon and California up there. And it was, it, you know, I didn't know much about that area, and I decided to go down there. And I camped down there, actually, right on the beach.
Oh, really?
They have really nice camping that you can – they have nice campsites that you can park your car and just hike maybe – 50 yards or so, and you're right in a nice little campsite, really isolated too. There's a few campsites around Trinidad area there, up in Northern California there. And I mean, I just had a really relaxing time. It felt like you're going back in time. Everything, you know, it's kind of a rustic feel around there, you know, with the lumber and the lumber history and the, you know, there's just a lot of history in that area. But the trees, though, were just so amazing. I couldn't believe how big they were. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Miles.
Yep. I rented a boat down the Smith River, which flows right into Crescent City there. And I rented a little inflatable raft for that day. It was the most amazing time I ever had. I just floated down the river and looked at the trees all day, you know, and it was like one of the best days, you know, that area was just, and that many people either. It's not like a real big touristy area, you know, to go.
And then, you know, the opposite, then you get down to Tucson and Tombstone and Bixby and all that area, and it just is fascinating, but it's totally different scenery. It's just amazing what they've got in the West. And it's, as I mentioned, it's so close. And so many, and you're talking about history. I mean, we had the Oregon Trail and the Mormon Trail and the California Trail, and that we've actually followed them. We started, we started in Omaha, Nebraska, and just headed west and down in Sioux Falls and those areas, and just mixed them all together going to Nebraska and heading off into Wyoming. And it's phenomenal. And then you can go to the Lewis and Clark trails up in the northern part, like Oregon. And well, on this Columbia River cruise that my wife and I did for a week in May that went all the way to Hell's Canyon, all the way from Astoria, I mean, you go to the end right by Astoria where they set up their final camp and saw the Pacific Ocean. And so we drive all these things, and there's hotels everywhere and B&Bs and campgrounds. And you just drive until you want to stop, and you know, the West is a great place, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It is. It can open up your mind and kind of, you know, and then you can get, you know, you can find anything to make your, you know, to get your specific needs and to, you know, anything that you like. Even a hot springs. Have you been to some hot springs out west?
Yeah, like Lava Hot Springs in southern Idaho.
Yeah, Lava is a great resort area there for families. And, but the hot – I've never been in a hot spring before until I came out here, and I thought it was great. It was a great experience, you know, with the –
Yeah, they're very different, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, let me tell you about Lava Hot Springs. This is so funny. To give you an example of how dumb we Southerners can be and when we go someplace, I like heat, and I like it hot. And at Lava, they must have 5 swimming pools in this little area, and they're real swimming pools, and you can play around like a real swimming pool. And at closest to the changing room, that's where the coolest is, because the water coming out must be 130 or something like that, and they mix cold water, naturally cold water, in with it. So it's all natural, and it rotates around because the river there. And as you go away from the changing room, the water gets hotter, each pool. Anyway, I try some and end up in one of them, and it's a wonderful lap pool. It's just perfect lap swimming. I love to swim. And so here I am swimming laps, and I must have swum, I don't know, 20 minutes back and forth. And I kept thinking, you know, the other pools had millions of people, and this one was only me. And some people poked their legs in on the sides. And the funny part about it is I didn't realize that the people were staring at me. And when I got out, one of the guys said, "How did you do that?" And I said, "What do you mean?" I thought, you know, how did I swim so long and so well or whatever, because I, you know, swim team. And he said, "This water is 112 degrees, and here you're swimming laps in it." And I didn't even know. I said, "Oh, it felt so good."
Oh, said, no, Jerry, you could have got burned or something there.
I could have died. But I mean, it's October, and it was kind of cool, and the other ones were too cool for me. And I get right in there, this is wonderful, and I just swam. And they looked at me like I was red as a beet, and they thought I was totally insane. So they said, "These, you know, these stupid people, they come here swimming this hot water." But one thing that we need to mention to them is there's so many ways to do things out here when you go to places. Well, take, for example, Bryce Canyon we were talking about. And, then also, like, up in Mount Rushmore area in southwest South Dakota. What my wife and I like to do is, if they have it available, we and Grand Canyon and a lot of places, actually, you can get in a helicopter tour. Even in Hawaii, we haven't talked about Hawaii, because I don't really consider Hawaii and Alaska West. They are, but I don't consider them the Western United States, because they're so different and so fabulous and individually different. But you get a helicopter, like at Mount Rushmore, when we pulled in, we took the 20-minute helicopter ride that flies you around it, behind it, and then you come back. And in Bryce Canyon, we took it, we pulled in, checked into the hotel, and right across the street was the heliport, and we took the helicopter tour all over Bryce Canyon. Then you drive into these, or hike in, and it makes gives you a wonderful overview. The Grand Canyon, to get in the helicopter and fly over the Grand Canyon for about 30 minutes, and as you fly off the rim and go boom all over, it's a fantastic way to get oriented. And then you come back and go down by Mueller Walk or whatever you want to do. But so be sure that you research each of the places that you go to and get the best way of doing it to, you know, in the right order. Like I was talking about Highway 12 from Torrey to Bryce. That's the way you want to do it and not the other way around. And what else can we talk about the West? Actually, go off base, didn't we?
Yeah, right. we covered pretty much. Yeah. Well, you know what? We can talk about kind of like, you know, where a lot of people go. It's probably one of the most popular attractions is Las Vegas, Nevada. Yeah.
Yes.
That's a whole other.
We haven't talked about the famous ones like San Diego and LA and San Francisco. So everybody knows about those places, I think.
But
Vegas, isn't that a surprise?
Oh, I know. It's changing every day. There's something new or there's something going on. Like, I can't keep up with all the new stuff going on there. Yeah, it's just...
I know. 30 years ago, it was strictly for adults, and I mean adults.
right.
Strictly a really liberal adult. But right now, it is a wonderful family destination.
Yeah,
I mean, my brother
and
his 11 kids go down all the time, and they absolutely love it. There's so much to do, and my wife and I go down, and... we're stunned. Everything from touring Hoover Dam on up to going to Death Valley and Valley of the Fire and, well, tons of rides and some of the best roller coasters. Have you been on the Sahara roller coaster?
I haven't. I've been up the Stratosphere before, the Stratosphere, that tower there. But, yeah.
Well, that one, it's a 40-second ride. And I won't tell anybody about it because you don't want to know about it because you had never ride it. But I tell you, it is so phenomenally scary and terrifying, and it's 40 seconds, and it's only one level, and I don't think it gets higher except for one spot, more than probably 30 feet. But, wow.
It's
wonderful.
It's a rush.
And, you know, the shows are getting better. They're getting more like Cirque du Soleil and the shows are not just so many entertainers, like, you know, one-man show.
Right, like Frank Sinatra. Yeah, it's more of a big production kind of thing.
Right. They're getting more of those, and in some ways that's good. And it gives a variety. But the restaurants and just walking around that place is an experience. But there are museums and all kinds of things that everybody, all ages, can do there.
Yeah, there's great art museums. I heard at the Bellagio, like amazing artwork. And if you're into art and all that, that's a great spot.
They have, like the Venetian and several of the hotels have magnificent stores. We went down one time just to shop, and we never saw a casino. Well, some of them you have to walk through the casino, but we never saw a casino. We never saw a show. We just went down and shopped.
And you
get European stuff and all kinds. Really great.
Yeah.
It's probably fun. Good.
Yeah. And then if you want to get away from Las Vegas, you can drive just like a half hour or hour and go to Lake Mead or get on the water or go to Zion National Park at 2 hours away.
Yep.
And, you know, so the Grand Canyon, 2 hours away, you know, But, yeah, and it looks like we just have a few more minutes here. And and hopefully whoever's listening, everybody's listening out there, if you want to call in, if you get a chance to call in the next couple minutes here, our number is 646- 9715, and Jerry and I, we can point you in the right direction and just try to guide you through the West and try to give you some good pointers and find out where you want to go. And you can listen to the show. It's archived on Blog Talk Radio, so if you can't listen to it right now, you can listen to it at your convenience there. And then you can email us. We have the website Travel Advice is www.traveladvice.com. It is Jerry's website there. And yeah. So well, that's great. I think we flew around the West pretty good, Jerry. There.
Well, in 30 minutes, we covered a wide variety.
We did. I it's making me more excited. I want to plan a trip now. You know, I want to get out. You know.
And we need to remind our listeners that we'll talk about any destination in the world that they're thinking about going.
Yeah.
If we're talking about a topic, just call in and we'll change right there and talk about your trip.
Yeah. We can anywhere in the world. Any type of exotic trip or
normal.
We'll
talk about hitchhiking. We'll talk about renting cars or train or taking cruises.
Yeah.
Or tours. Oh, one thing in the last minute or two,
sure.
There's a lot. Some of our visitors and listeners may not know this, but there are a lot of different companies that have escorted tours.
Oh.
Like Trek America. It's only for 18 to 38-year-olds, but, man, it's T-R-E-K America. And they're wonderful. A wide variety of programs. And, there's so many other companies. You can bicycle, like with Barcelona Robinson and Country Walkers. They have all kinds of tours out here that are escorted, and so does Globus, and tons of people do. So if they want an escorted tour, they can do adventure and all kinds of things out here. Just normal. There's rail cruises, tours that do rail. And there's so many ways to see this out here.
Yeah. And you got Backroads. That Backroads is
for
companies. Yeah.
And another neat thing that's kind of fun, we bought a Jeep just to do the four-wheel driving out here.
Oh.
We were stunned at the number of neat things that you have to have a four-wheel drive to get to. And every state has that. And that's one of the ways that we're seeing these ghost towns, these little ghost mining towns.
Oh, yeah, and but the roads aren't as built up, and you need a little bit more to get to the ghost
town. Some of them are not even built at all. I mean, just like river bottoms that are empty,
uh-huh. Side
river bottoms. You got to really know the area, because here in Utah, if you do some of the high elevations, the roads are closed from like October until June because there's still snow up in the higher elevations. And you can only drive them like 2 months, 3 months out of the year without getting caught and die. So,
right.
So it's really neat. It's a fantastic part of the world, this western part of the United States.
Yeah.
I mean, so many neat things are here, too. I mean, like Smokey the Bear. Is buried, you can go to his grave in Capitan, Mexico, southern New Mexico,
mm-hmm.
and actually see it. And then in New Mexico, you have Carlsbad Caverns, which is phenomenal. And then you have, you have the northern part there, and they take the circle drive between Taos and Red River. Go east, and they come back on the western side, it's a circle drive. Beautiful. It's like Northern California in some ways, and it's just spectacular scenery.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
so next
week
we are talking about backpacking, and
on Christmas Day, on the holiday show, at backpacking and kind of trying to do it on a budget, or even you don't have to do it on a budget, but just more kind of a light packing and kind of exploring that way, just real simple kind of traveling.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Jeremy Jensen. Yeah, he's a he's from Salt Lake City, Utah originally, but he's lived in Buenos Aires in South America for a year, and he's traveled all around South America, all around Asia, all around Europe. So yeah, he could be he'll be a good guest to have.
Looking forward to meeting him.
Yeah. Well, that's great, Jerry. Well, thanks for another great show. That was excellent. I really enjoyed talking about the West and to fellow travelers out there, I mean, just get involved in it and make it your passion, and You know, you can just, it can change your life, you know.
Yep.
You know, just to travel. And, well, yeah, so we'll wrap things up here. And, yeah, so that was a great show. And thanks
a lot,
Jerry.
Talk to you next week, then.
Sounds good. Looking forward to talking to you on next Monday. Yep. And
Monday.
Sounds good. Okay.
All right. See you later.
Okay, yeah, take care. Okay.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.